Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Grant Wise, excited to jump on and have a conversation with the one and only Robert. I hope I'm saying this right, Sislo.
You got it, man.
I got it. There we go.
Well done.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for stopping by the podcast and chatting it up with us for a little while.
You're most welcome, man. I see all the good work you're doing out there. You've got a thriving ecosystem on social media. I see you all the time. And man, I was like, when's it going to happen? When are we going to do something? So here we are. We're doing it right now. So thank you.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to have you on. So a little context, you're listening to this. I met Robert a few years back. He was working for Grant Cardone and I had a show on that network. And Robert was one of the main coordinators there, helped put all the content together, did an amazing job. And so much so that I actually hired him when we did the Video Remarketing Summit back in October of 2020. Robert and his team are the ones that put all of the video content together, did a phenomenal job. And so today I just wanted to have him on, have a good conversation about marketing and about branding and video and those different types of things. I know it's a hot topic in the real estate space right now. So
totally.
If you want, why don't you give everybody a little bit of context? Just who are you and how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, the short 10,000 foot overview of that is I started doing video production when I was around 15 years old. It happened completely by accident. And I would just experiment. We had a project we had to do in high school and we were filming stuff. And then I saw that you could actually like, this could be a career, you know, creating content could be a career. And I never really got into it until I would like full fledged up until maybe 7 years ago. But I always skirted the edges, right? So I worked with, you know, I did freelance jobs for NBC Universal, Yellow Pages, Yelp, you know, companies would come and they'd approach me and they hired me to come make content for them so they can market. But, you know, I traveled all over the place. You know, I started in New York City when I was right out of high school. I got an internship with this company called Michael Mailer Films and I would commute from South Jersey to New York City 3 days a week, no pay, just to get experience in the industry. And what I originally wanted to do was film. Like I originally wanted to do film and I still have an aspiration to do filmmaking. But I found it really difficult to break into the industry. And for what it is, it is what it is. And so it was New York, then New Mexico around 2008. I moved out there. There's a lot of tax incentives for films to go. So my uncle was like, hey, why don't you come out here? You probably get a job. And still couldn't quite break in and was going to school for film. And I was like, man, I just want to make stuff, you know? We're over here studying 1920s German film and cinematography. And I'm like, what does that have to do with 2008? You know, I mean, I thought it was cool. I got some inspiration from it, not to knock film school or anything, but I wanted to work. And so that's when I got hired by Hilton and NBC Universal to go make all these little mini documentaries. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was doing branding and advertising. I didn't know that's what I was doing. I didn't know there was a term. I was like, well, I'm just making them so they can, it'll help them. Uh-huh. And I went from having no portfolio to having like 120 ads done in like 90 days. Filmed, shot, produced myself, go to the location, do everything, get it back, get it up, and just did it. And I didn't get paid a lot of money for it. I did get paid a lot, but in my mind, that was a lot. Today, it's different. but even then, I was like, oh my God, I could actually do this. So, you know, I spent, then I went to LA. And I was like, okay, I'm going to really try to break in here. And obviously that didn't happen. And that ended terribly. I mean, I wound up homeless, got in a bad relationship. That went south and, you know, ended up in the Caribbean after that. That went south, wound up homeless there and then landed in Miami. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm working at Banana Republic. And I remember being like, you know what? This is not cool, man. Like, how do I get to do what I want to do every day, which is produce content and help people communicate? Which is now called branding advertising, which I didn't know back then. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I got a job with Cardone and then that kind of took off and I learned the game of sales, built a $12 million contract value agency while I was there. 2 years ago, went out on my own. First year in business, global shutdown, economic crisis, and here we are today. We have a seven-figure agency. We got seven staff. We have a lot of clients that we're helping in a lot of different industries, but yeah, there was just a lot of learning, a lot of everything was self-taught and observed and improved upon. And that's what we do today. So we do design, we do videos, we do ads, we do lead generation funnels, that kind of stuff. And it's full service agency.
I love it, man. Why do you think that, why is video such a crucial element to building a brand today? I mean, I know that's a lot of what, you know, at least that's kind of like our relationship is, you know, a lot of video stuff. Why do you think that within, you know, social influencers or within real estate agents, I mean, if we could speak directly to real estate agents, why is it so important for real estate agents to be using video content today?
Well, I see it as an instant connection point, an instant reality point. I see you, I hear you, I can listen to you, and I pretty much can assimilate everything I need to know about you from one or two videos. And if I, you know, if I want to do business with you or listen more. And so video becomes a diffuser of that first introductory sales process. To me, that's how I see it. You know, people will say, well, marketing is marketing. I'm like, no, there's a whole sales process in marketing that has to be followed, just like you do when you talk to someone. So that very first thing is, how can I diffuse the tension from someone who doesn't know anything about me to just be willing to listen? Like, I'm not even asking them to hire me at that point. I just want to know, will you just stop and listen to what I have to say? And so that's what I see video as. It's that first kind of, let's make it a little easier to be approached. Let's diffuse a little bit of that coldness. Let's just try to build a camaraderie. You don't even have to say anything to me. I mean, some of our best clients don't, they've never commented on any of the content I've put out. They followed for a long time. And then one day they call me up and they're like, yeah, I've been following you for 6 months. I'm like, why didn't you like and comment? What happened, man? Like, you know, but that's really the thing. It's just this, it's a gateway to a sale, and it diffuses that tension that normally exists on the phone or when you first meet someone. You can really build and establish a sort of relationship with people and you don't even know it's happening, and it happens.
What do you think are the important elements of a video? If I was going to create a piece of video content today, what do you think are some things that are important to have in that video? How can I, like you're talking about, release the tension, build a relationship with just a piece of video content? Is there strategy in that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, so what you'll see is you get a lot of people that will go through, and the thing that they'll do is they will say, you know what, I'm going to try to cram everything into one video. We got to get it all in there. And, you know, I don't do that. I don't think it's necessary. So what I'm more interested in, and if you want to have something, especially as an agent in a video, is look to the conversations that you're having with everybody every single day, your own thoughts, your own observations, things that don't make sense, things that are even wrong, and position yourself on the opposite end of that or in alignment with that. And so if your goal is to generate a lead out of this, what are, like, you think one person that said something to you, they're not the only people on planet Earth or in the United States that have the same consideration about working with a real estate agent or sales or doing or selling their home, right? So you got to dive deep into that and break that out over a long, like, you got to be expecting to play this for a long-term game. Like, this is not, oh, I did one video there, before I do this. I'm talking to a real estate guy a couple months ago, and we were talking about doing sales guy in Miami, and he says, you know what, I just don't want to deal with leads. I don't want to talk to on social media, and I don't want to call anybody. And I said to myself, I don't know what planet this is that you live on in this imaginary fantasy world you have, that you don't have to talk to leads, you don't have to follow up, and you don't have to do any work, because if you have an address to this planet, I would like to be there. But for what I know right now, we have to play the game, and you have to be willing. See, right there, that tells me that that person's not really interested in helping people. That person's just interested in the check. And, you know, when you're really, truly interested in making a difference for clients in real estate, I mean, in Miami, it's very difficult to find good real estate people. It's hard. Even when I'm trying to look for things, it's difficult to find those people. But the ones that are showing the locations, the ones that are giving me the culture, the lifestyle, oh, dude, come move up here. Now, maybe you want to go back to South Beach, or maybe you want to move to another building in Sunny Isles. Like, when you start showing that whole encompassing thing, now we're playing a game. Because what I see most agents do is they post open house today, check it out, pictures. And I look at that and I'm like, I don't know what the purpose of that is. Like, I think, sure, that's cool, but that says nothing to me about you or why I would want to work with you. So I mean, I could say tactical, like make sure you have some tactical things, like maybe if there's something related to mortgages, interest rates, how you could get a lower interest rate, you know, what you can do that you've learned maybe in the industry, like whatever it is that positions you a little bit further ahead than everybody else. Even if you feel like people have said it before, it's still you, like it's a separating factor.
Yeah.
And they'll never be you, which is why people do business with you anyway, on the phone, in person, because they like you. If I don't like you as a realtor, I'm gonna go find somebody else.
This kind of leads into my next question, is how important is it to do these things consistently?
Well, I mean, it depends on how big you want to be. What game are you playing here? And, you know, I would say 92% of my business comes in from social media. The rest would be referrals and cold calls that I do. But 92% is pretty much organic reach from social media, just because I keep showing up. I stay relevant. Maybe somebody doesn't buy today because you got to – let me step back. You have to unwind the thought that you put a piece of content out or you run ads and you instantly get a result.
Right.
Man, I did it for 2 weeks. I want leads today. Again, what planet do you live on? Because I know guys that spend millions of dollars per month per platform and they don't get success like that either. So let's just be straight about this. But the truth is that consistency is that dividing factor. And a lot of people say, oh yeah, be consistent. What does that mean, consistent? Like, you know, I'm putting out 500 to 700 pieces of content a week myself right now. And there are days where I don't want to do it, or I don't have enough time to do it, or I've got bad internet connection, or I'm in meetings, or I'm in podcasts. Look, I got 7 employees I got to run. Okay. I've got projects I got to do. Just because I work in social media doesn't mean I live on social media all day. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you can attest to this because you're in the same industry,
yeah.
You know? But I still make the time to get the content out, to do podcasts, to talk to people and reach out there, because if I don't do that, I lose my relevance and I kind of have to rebuild my own momentum.
I was talking
LinkedIn especially is momentum based. That whole platform is momentum based. You can't just stop. Like, you got to keep moving on that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, you're fine. I was interviewing Tom Ferry for the Video Remarketing Summit, and he was saying, think about it. You know, these big, huge, massive news agencies, the CNNs, the Fox, the MSNBC, all these people. He's like, do you think that they would have even a fraction of the relevance if you only heard from them like once every 3 months? And then nope. The obvious answer is no. Like, they're in your face every single day. And that is one of the reasons why they have so much influence. How can somebody maybe take one piece of content and make it feel like they're everywhere, even if they're only doing a couple pieces of content, you know, maybe once a day or once a week? Is it possible to create a video and then use that video in a number of different ways?
Yeah, I mean, here's a great example of what I do, and I do this every day, and you can do this whatever industry you're in, but specifically for agents is, you know, I take my phone and I just shoot a really quick 60-second video where I have a conversation. That video then gets uploaded to, it'll be posted on Instagram, it'll be posted on Facebook, it'll be posted on Twitter, it'll be posted on LinkedIn. Then the other thing you can do is, and I don't know if you guys have done this, but if you go to your stories on Instagram, I'll tell you exactly what I do. When you swipe up, you can actually select that 60-second video and you add it to the story, and then it creates 4 stories for you, 15, 15, 15, 15. And if some of you follow me, what I do is you'll see me, I'll put little numbers on the top left, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'll add that story to my story. And that qualifies as 4 new pieces of content, even though it's from one video. So this is how I get up to like 500, 700 pieces of content a day, right? I'm sorry, a week. And like, I do that on each platform. I do it on the Twitter story. So, all right, let me back up and why I do the numbers. So now all that stuff saves to my phone. And so those individual pieces are automatically cut and saved to my phone. Then I go over to Facebook stories and I swipe up and I grab the first video, upload it, grab the second video, upload it, because it's got the numbers. Then I go to Twitter and I do the same thing. So now I've taken a 60-second video, and let's just see, I did, let's look, we did Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it got cut up into 4 sections. So that's 4 times another, I got my Facebook business page, my personal Facebook page, my Instagram stories, and my Twitter stories. So that becomes what? What is that? That's 4, 4, and 4 times 4 through that 16. So I just made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 21 pieces of content out of that one video.
Yeah.
And if I do that, if I, now here's where it gets crazy, right? And this is how you can dominate. So if you do the math, and I'm always a math guy, even though I'm an artist, let's just say you do that 4 hours, once every hour. Like, let's just say you do it once every hour over a period of 8 hours. 21 times 8, that's 168 pieces of content a day. Let's just say you do it Monday through Friday times 5, that's 840 pieces of content a week times 4, that's 3,306. No, that's not correct. 840, no, that is right. Times 4, that's 3,360 pieces of content a month. Times 12, 40,320 pieces of content a year. So now you're talking about, this is where this aligns with your mention about the news agencies, right? Mm-hmm. You could become your, look how you can become your own news outlet. And people right. tell me all the time, they're like, dude, I see you everywhere. And I'm not too particularly worried about the number of views or engagement I get, because it all stacks up over time for me. So, I mean, that was a really tactical thing, but that's how my mind operates in advertising. Like, I'm multi-purpose and use everything. And then I go back and I grab videos I've used a month ago, 6 months ago. I save them to my favorites on my phone and I reuse it because it all works.
Yeah. I love this strategy. We call it the content compound, where I will create like 1 5-minute video, and then that thing gets broken up into 30 different pieces of content shared amongst 5 to 7 different platforms. You know, there's a lot of recording work that goes into that, and then there's a lot of distribution work that goes into that. But if attention, one of my favorite quotes, if attention is the currency of sales, the more you can create and distribute content, the more attention you're going to get. And ultimately, the more influence, the more business, whatever your goal is, you're going to get more of that because you're just out there nonstop.
Right.
Nonstop.
Right. And nonstop. And the thing to really be clear on is people will say, get attention.
Yeah.
And my thing is always like, well, we got to be really clear on what that attention actually means, because a lot of people, like, you can run around and be like, I'm not quite, like, you'll try to get attention and it then becomes misguided attention. Like, you're trying to just do whatever. So I always just break that down even further. For the case of your audience for real estate agents, it's always going to the viewpoint of what people are going to use you for, you know? So that's the attention I'm looking at. It's, what is somebody going to use GrantWise for?
Yeah.
And what are the hundreds of different things that GrantWise knows that he can solve? And then that generates your leads that you're trying to go with, right? So the game here is not, ooh, good attention, let's be crazy, let's set cars on fire, let's swan dive off my balcony. You know, let's go pose in a bikini. No, I'm talking about like something that's very tactical, very practical, that, you know, your audience becomes established with you knowing, oh, here's Grant. I know what I'm going to get here.
I love it. Are you seeing a big difference today from, or between, like the selfie style, I'm just going to pull my phone out and create a video type of content, versus like the, we spent a little bit of money making sure that this video was produced, you know, intros, outros, B-roll. Are you seeing a huge difference in the performance of those things?
Yeah, I mean, it's 50-50, to be honest with you. I see organic stuff that performs really well, and then I see this really produced stuff that performs really well. So I'm of the mindset to have a nice blend of both if you can do it. Like, if you can get both in there, it's good, because – I think too much perfection doesn't quite work, and I think too much organic doesn't quite work. I think a nice happy medium in the middle will be a benefit. I know in my universe, when I'm promoting, sometimes the produced stuff doesn't do well, but the organic stuff will do well. And then maybe a month will go by because I hammer that. Then I post the produced one, and it's like, oh, here's something new. So I really try to play with I wouldn't say play with the audience. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep the audience a little bit on edge of like, oh, we're going to change this up now. We're going to change this. Here's some new things you haven't seen before. And I'm actually going through that right now. I'm looking at the content I've been doing, and I'm saying, hey, you know what? Now's the time to, we're going to have to change a couple things up just a little bit and introduce a new style here soon. But that's about, you know, I think that's a direct answer to your question, is that it's a blend of both.
Well, I mean, you always have agents ask, like, what should my videos be about? And then, you know, how should they be put together? Should they be produced, or they should be with the phone? And I always tell people,
well, I think people get a little ahead of themselves when they're like, man, they're trying to go for this great video.
We intentionally create distractions or stalls so that we don't have to take the action. I think that's a reality. I think that a lot of people are nervous about doing video, which is fine. You know, I was nervous when I first started doing it, but I also had to eat. So like I had to get over that fear pretty quick.
Like you want to eat food? Let's go promote.
So, but you know, I think that I think it was Steve Sims, if I'm remembering it correctly, he said, I think you got to have a blend of nice stuff and raw stuff. And he's like, because if you have too much nice stuff, it makes you seem like you're out of reach. People are maybe even afraid to reach out to you because they don't believe you'll respond. Cause it's like, wow, he's got a great brand. He's got really polished stuff. He probably doesn't have time for me. But if you mix in a little bit of that raw content, it's just you being personable, sharing stuff. He's like, that makes people feel like they can just reach out and touch you, reach out and connect with you. And there's a lot of power in that. I've personally been in the camp of, we're going to do a mixture of well-produced stuff for brand purposes because we want to look good, sound good, feel good, right? And then we're going to do some of the personal stuff because I've seen just in my own stuff where me pulling out my phone and doing a video are conversions through the roof on videos like that. And that, I guess that's where I fall. So I was curious. We get that question all the time. I know we're running low on time. So I have a couple more questions. One question was a question I asked you a couple of days ago. You gave me a response and I said, can I interview on the podcast? Cause I want to get a more in-depth answer to this question. But we were talking about creating content and you said, you got to say something a certain way. So when you're creating videos, you know, there's a certain way that you can say things that allows you to maybe amplify the results or whatever it is. What did you mean by that? What does that mean? How can I talk a certain way in my content creation or when I'm creating videos to get better results?
Well, I would go back to just looking at things on a gradient level, right? So there are gradients to knowledge and expertise and the ability to do something. Like I remember when I worked, I'll give you an example. When I worked for Apple, I would teach people how to do really advanced production and color grading and editing and music composition. And then I would teach people how to use a mouse. So those are very opposite ends of the spectrum. The way that I talk to this guy and the way I talk to this person is totally different. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that when you get into social media, you get locked into your, everybody better understand what I'm saying. And this is my industry. This is my lingo. Like, especially real estate, there's a lot of terms in there. There's a lot of language in there that, okay, should people know? They probably should. Can you, with all honesty, say that they do know everything? I would say no. So your responsibility is to think for, all right, let's say I got a big boy real estate investor that knows everything there is to know. We can have a much more advanced conversation than somebody that might be just starting out. Like, I'll give you another example. We got guys that do wholesaling and investing and all this stuff, and they're looking for investors to come into the properties and all that. And I said, let me ask you a question. You guys are looking for these top level investors that have millions of dollars to invest, and you're all speaking a very certain language. I was speaking on stage talking about this. And I said, what do you do if you got a new guy who just started out, his company's doing $6-7 million a year, he wants to invest, knows nothing about real estate. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know who to follow. He doesn't know who to trust. He sees you, but because you are thinking, well, I'm God, therefore everybody should just understand what I'm saying, he's never going to do business with you. And you just passed up an opportunity maybe to acquire a new client. So the content itself has to go through gradients and fluctuate different gradients of, you know, technicalities, introductory, advanced, basic. Like, you need to be able to play and swing through all of that. Just because you know the lingo and you know the industry and you know what's going on with that, I guarantee you most people don't. Then if you really found out, most people don't even know half of, they say they know, but they don't really know. They use words and terms that they think sound nice, but they're not even saying the right thing. So this is what I was alluding to. And this is where content creation becomes more than just picking up the camera and saying something. This is intention based. This is, who is this one for? 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 And am I going to communicate at the right level of that? Now, here's another side. We just went through a global economic crisis and shutdown. Okay. Some people really struggled. Some people really went through a lot of things that were very difficult. And some people may not be in the mood of like, I'm winning. They may be struggling. I'm not going to listen to a guy that's going to come in and be like a unicorn prancing around, acting all happy and arrogant and excited. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I don't want to talk to you because that's not where my reality of my world is. So sometimes I need to dial back some of the craziness and just be able to sit down and talk to people where they are. And this is what I say a lot is like, find out where they're at and talk to them there. Because then maybe somebody else will be higher up. So this is what I mean. This is what's going to allow for those conversions. This is what's going to allow for those leads. Like, some people are just not happy people. I'm a happy guy. I like being happy. I like having fun. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Some people don't like it when I do that. So I got to dial it back. It's like, how are you today? Like, strict cold ice business. And that is what it is. And I need to have content that reflects that, because I need to show the diversity that I have to be able to get into communication with people. And if you can do this and acquire this skill and practice it, you know, check it out, see what it's like. Try different video content and you'll see what the results are going to be. And that's a really distinguishing factor. So that emotional level, the words, the communication, all of that is what is the answer to your question. And I hope that that gave you a broader impact on that, a little bit of a different viewpoint on it.
No, it definitely did. I think, you know, Russell Brunson says, you know, it's techno babble. Like, you know exactly what you're talking about, but the majority of the people you're trying to work with probably don't have a clue of what you're trying to explain. So you have to build a bridge. You have to go meet people where they are, and then you have to pull them back over to your ideals, your visions, your this, that, and the other thing. And we have to do that in communication, because most people, quite frankly, aren't going to understand. I see it a lot in real estate where they're talking a lot about technical real estate terms that only realtors would understand. And that was a big disservice to the end viewer, your buyer leads, your seller leads, because those people have no clue what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think
unapproachable. That's really unapproachable.
Totally.
You know, I'd be like, I don't want to talk to that guy. I couldn't even have a combo with him.
Yes.
So and people are like, man, how come I don't get leads? I know everything. Well, what are you saying? And how are you saying it? And
yeah,
how often are you saying
it? Incredibly disingenuous. I mean, it can feel like, well, I think that guy's too smart for me. Or I know that sounds crazy. If you're listening to this, it's like, well, surely I'm not too smart for this person. That's not what we're saying. It's that if you're speaking a language somebody else doesn't understand, they're going to tune you out. And that's what you're doing when you're using, you know, the words that make sense to you but don't make sense to other people. We've gone through crazy amounts of studies within our company to figure out how to say what it is that we do. How to communicate it, how to articulate.
Do you ever get the question, hey man, what is it you actually do? Like, you get that sometimes?
We literally spent, I'm not joking, probably a week. It's the only thing we did is come up with a phrase that communicates what it is that we do. And since we've developed that one power phrase, we've never had to explain it again, unless somebody just legitimately didn't know it before they showed up to like a call with us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I spent a very long time on, is like, this is what we do. This is what we do. I've even made videos. This is what I do. Like, just blatantly saying it. Sometimes you just need to do that. Yeah.
It wasn't until we sat down and got clear on that beforehand, though. Like, I could sit and have like a 30-minute conversation with somebody and they'd be like, I still don't get it. So, I still don't know what you do, but it sounds great, man. Let's talk about something.
That sounds great, man.
That's how you know you've done a good job in communication.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, man. I appreciate you sitting down with me so much. Last question. After everything we've talked about here today, give me a framework. What are three things that I can do to go develop influence using a lot of what we've talked about today? How can I go create real influence in my market, in my community, with this powerful tool called video? What are the top three things I need to do?
Yeah. So, I mean, really the first thing you got to do is just have a willingness to want to do it. Like, you got to have a willingness to just do it. Because some people will say, yeah, well, I want to be this and I want to be that, but they don't do it. And it requires a tremendous amount of willingness to say, hey, I'm going to go do a video. The hardest thing with every client we work with is just getting them to do one video. That first video is the hardest one to get them to do. Maybe the first three or four of them, but there has to be a desire to want to do it. And look, I could bring you, it's like you bring a horse to water and you can't make it drink. It's the same thing. We will bring you to the water. I will strap you to the water. I will put your face in the water. But if you don't drink this in the middle of the desert, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
So it has to be a willingness to want to actually communicate. You have to want to do it, because if you don't want to do it and you're trying to force it, it's not going to be genuine. It's not going to come out. It's just not going to happen, right? The second thing, we've already touched on it, but it's just discipline. And a lot of people say discipline, but here's what I mean by discipline. The days you don't feel like doing it, the times when you have way too much going on, you got the family, you got the kids, you got the employees, you got the clients, you know what? that's great. Your mission, your purpose, where you're trying to go, and all those things are more important, because it all affects all those things. You know, if you want to donate more to your church, if you want to help your family better, you got to have the discipline to at least set aside some time. Look, I could do a 60-second video right now, and I just told you I could do 21 pieces of content. If I just did that 3 times a day, I would be well ahead of everybody else in your space, in the real estate space. So number one is willingness. Number two is discipline. And then number three is just being willing to invest money into actual spend. Like, you have to spend money. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you a secret. I wish I could give you a silver bullet. Yeah, there's influencer marketing. Yeah, there's all these things. But you know what it is? You got to spend some money. It is what it is. You got to spend some money on awareness. You got to be willing to lose some money. Because, and here's the thing, if you really thought about it, you know, advertising is just another way for you to claim space. You know, I did a video called Claiming Digital Real Estate Space That Pays You Dividends. And it's true. It's digital real estate. You are buying your own, you're making your own digital real estate. And those YouTube videos, those tweets, those Facebook posts, it's all real estate that's being taken up. Mm-hmm. Someone somewhere is watching. And like I said, I've got so many clients that have watched for months, never said a word. Never even liked anything. I didn't even know they existed. And then boom, all of a sudden it's like, I need to work with you today. I'm like, well, what made you do it today? Well, I've been watching you for 6 months, and man, you said something today. I'm like, it took 6 months in my mind, you know, but that's it. Like, build, invest into the real estate side of advertising, which is claiming the space. Just make it. There's room for it, you know, and don't get bogged down when you see these guys who have millions of followers and all this stuff. Da, 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 da. Look, there's a great story. Girl had 1 million followers. Supreme, the company, approached her, said, hey, we're going to pay you $500,000 to launch our clothing brand. Just shout it out and we'll pay you $500,000. They paid her $500,000. She shouted out the clothing brand. She sold nothing. She didn't sell a single shirt. And she has 1 million followers. So I've seen guys that have 1,000 followers and they're doing $200,000 a month in sales, and they post every so often. So if they can do it, you can do it. Willingness, discipline, and be willing to spend some money in ads. You got to do it. It's just part of the game. That's my tactical advice for you today.
Love it, man. Oh, it's great. It's so needed. I want to comment, you know, you're talking about the discipline thing. And I think that at some agents, everybody has a lot of great intentions. But intentions aren't what creates realities. It's your actions that create your realities. And I want to challenge you, if you're listening to what Robert just said, to not think of this as something else you have to do. Mm-mm. You got to change the way that you're thinking about content creation, because it's not the intention that's going to lead you to take the actions. I think it's, there's a real estate coach. He always says, the people that are most successful do what they don't want to do at the highest level and most consistently. And there's days I wake up and absolutely do not want to create content. But I know that me being in front of my audience and, you know, helping them, whatever it is that I'm going to talk about today, is more important than me not wanting to do it. And what we help people do really can transform their lives. I mean, I've had people that have listened to us, gone off and made six figures without paying me a dime. I've had people that have paid me money, and as a result, it helped them prevent their home from going into foreclosure. Like, we help people here. And if I wake up and accept the excuse that I just don't feel like it today, somebody might not hear what it is that they needed to hear to help them go achieve whatever, you know, success is for them. And so I think that you got to figure out what it is for you that can really help be that, I don't know, guiding light, I guess, or that question at least that you ask yourself when you don't feel like doing it. Because for me, that's what it is. I can sit back and read the brag book, which is literally just the text, the social posts, the videos that people send us about times where we've helped change their life. And I read one story from that little book and I'm like, okay, I got to go create content today because somebody needs to hear it. And so you got to figure out how to change the way that you're thinking about it, so you don't think of this as just one more thing you have to get done, because it's not that at all. And I think that if you do, you're probably going to create some pretty bad content because you're just going to be doing it to do it. You're not going to have any, you know, real passion behind it.
And one thing I want to add on to that, I know we're wrapping up here, is just like, think about it like a public service. You know what I mean? Like, it's you should be infuriated in your industry if there's somebody else out there that's promoting, and you know they're promoting wrong information and you're not doing anything about it, mm-hmm. like this is a deep, this is right in line with what you're talking about. Somebody mm-hmm. needs to hear it, but I challenge you to go one level deeper. How many people are promoting things that could actually damage someone and you don't do anything about it? And the question then becomes, are you an accomplice to damaging other people? And if that doesn't get you fired up about doing marketing and advertising, I don't know what will. Like if you can't do it, if you can't do it for yourself, do it for everybody else because they need it. I hate to steal that from, but whatever.
I gotta keep doing it because I gotta keep eating. That's why I gotta keep doing
That's
it.
Right.
I gotta keep making sure I got food on the table. So man, totally. I thank you so much for jumping by. This is an excellent
thank you.
Episode. Really appreciate all the feedback. We appreciate all the work you did back for us in October for the Video Remarketing Summit. Again, we still to this day get great feedback on how that content was put together. What is the number one way somebody could connect with you if they wanted to pick your brain?
Yeah, really easy. Just at Robert Sislo Jr. on every social platform, call it a day, and I respond.
There we go. We'll make sure that we link that up in the show notes. It's Robert at Robert Sislo, S-Y-S-L-O. We'll make sure that we link that up so that you can connect with him. I encourage you to do that. At the very least, follow him. He's putting out content nonstop across all platforms, and it really will help you understand how to go out there and have a bigger impact, develop more influence so that you can sell more homes. We appreciate you guys tuning into the podcast, and we will see you on the next episodes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks and have an amazing day.